Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sexy is boring. Let's be terrifying.
Hi, Corinne Cronfley here to tell you about today's sponsor, Sucrebe. Sucrebe is a women-owned and operated perfumery that is vegan and cruelty-free. Sucrebe is witchy and sometimes irreverent. Expect perfumes like Sweatpants Goblin, Not Today, Satan, and I Come From a Long Line of Terrifying Women. Sucrebe small batch perfumes are not like any other, but are broadly split into 5 scent styles, including classic scents that pass the test of time. Nerdy scents for all the self-professed nerds out there. Witchy scents that are mysterious and potiony. Goth scents for those who like it dark and mysterious. And femme scents, the classically floral and sweet scents, but we recommend them for anyone of any gender. You can even find Blood and Bone and Unknown Roads, which are 2 amazing scents for our dear friends over at Old Gods of Appalachia. Also, as an added bonus, right now you can get an extra free dram of one of their scents if you spend over $25 and by using our unique Magnus code by going to rustyquill.com/perfume and following the instructions. Thanks, and enjoy today's episode.
Hi everyone, Alex here with a couple of messages ahead of today's bonus episode. Firstly, just a quick warning. We realised after recording that we had answered so many questions that there was no way it would fit into one episode. With that in mind, we decided to split the Q&A into 2 parts. You can expect the second half next week, but it does mean today's episode ends slightly abruptly, so our apologies for that. Secondly, you'll no doubt have noticed that we've been running ads with the Magnus Archives for a while now. We always want this podcast to be free to listen to, so that means we need the extra income these adverts provide to help cover our production costs. As part of this process, we now need to provide some information about what kind of listeners we have so that we can get better paying adverts. And that's where you come in. If you head over to rustyquill.com or follow the direct link in the show notes, you'll find a short questionnaire to fill in. All information you provide is anonymous and you don't need to answer anything you don't want to. It's super easy and takes less than 5 minutes, but we would hugely appreciate it if you could take the time to fill it in. It's a great way to show us your support without spending any money, and it will genuinely help us to make more free content available in the future. That's everything for now, so thanks in advance from everyone at Rusty Quill, and we hope you enjoy today's episode. Hi, and welcome to the Q&A at the end of season two. How are you feeling, Johnny?
Relieved and eager.
Eager?
Raring to go at season three.
Ah, well, you've changed your tune. None of this, what are we going to do?
Well, I mean, we've had a long discussion about what we're going to do, and it's nasty.
It's not nice. Right, so we have quite a lot of questions to get through this time.
Right, well, I will try to keep my
answers. We are going to be blasting through a number of questions.
Going to try and keep them quick.
And I apologise in advance. It's a running joke that I do not know how to pronounce, like, basic people names, so I'll do the best I can.
Sure.
So, this first question is from @Pluviosity on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Section 31 seems to be almost as shady as the archives. Will we ever hear from Basira again?
Obviously, that's quite a spoiler-heavy question. I will say that Section 31 is, and Basira, the archive is certainly not done with them, but at the same time, they're probably... Section 31 is not going to be as much of a focus, I think, as it was in Season 2.
Yeah, fair enough. Moving on, I have a few from Canon Longshot.
Sure.
Are there any real-world people, aside from the single most obvious one, you, that any of the characters or statement givers are based on?
To be honest, John the Archivist is not actually that much like me, aside from sharing a name. But I don't really know. I think I generally tend to take aspects of either myself or people I know and then extrapolate them into characters.
Well, you have a massive knack for taking every single person that we know who is both involved and not involved in production and stealing their names to make
I'll take their names because I need a lot of names, and you guys have some fine names that I can have. But in terms of the actual characters, I tend to take elements of people I know and flesh them out rather than importing people wholesale.
Yeah, I think that's a lot safer as well. Yeah. From personal experience, there are very few people who, when they see themselves down on a page, go, oh, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially if
you're going to kill them horribly. Yeah, fair point. Okay. Will the Magnus theme tune be replaced by Band on the Run for the duration of season three?
We couldn't get the licensing.
Licensing's really expensive.
Or we tried Carry On My Wayward Son.
Walking in Memphis, but you'd be surprised how few statements you can really get just from Memphis.
I'm going to be doing my own cover of Band on the Run a cappella, but we're still waiting to hear back from legal on that one.
As a percentage, how many of audience questions should we expect to be solved, in inverted commas, by the end of the show? Do you imagine it being sort of fairly open-ended with room for people to discuss, no one really knowing what's happening, or are we looking at a tight wrap-up?
Oh, that's a surprisingly tricky question. A lot of it depends on, I mean, especially percentage-wise, a lot of it depends on how much store you put by smaller mysteries. I think most big questions will have either answers or closed discussions, if that makes sense. I think there'll probably be a lot of competing theories about the exact nature of certain things that happen, but I don't think anyone's going to be walking away actively confused.
But similarly, we couldn't answer every single red string and nuanced thing, because otherwise the last season would just be Q&As. There wouldn't be any content left. Next question's from Isengrim. I think I'm saying that right. Was the thing that Lightning describes as having too many teeth and limbs like knives the same entity, or at least the same kind of entity, as the werewolf from Magnus 31?
I don't think it's a huge spoiler to say that they're not the exact same entity, but they're, you could call them brothers. They are of the same ilk.
Mm-hmm. Next one's from Kia. Where do you meet all of our incredible guest voice actors? So not us then.
To be honest, mainly people we know. Because for the first two seasons, we haven't been in a position to really pay voice actors, and we're both, I think, very keen on professional work should be absolutely compensated.
Sure.
Luckily, we both come from very dramatic sort of backgrounds, so we have a store of people who we've been burning through them.
No, you've been killing them all.
We've been burning them.
Okay, another question, again from Kia. How have you felt about the fandom reacting to the major moments? As an example, Michael appearing for the first time.
I mean, generally beforehand, quite nervous. After the fact, gratified. So far, at least. Because whenever you have a big moment, a big reveal, there's always that sense of, what if they don't like it? What if they what if they take the wrong things away from it? What if I've got this big revelation and no one understands what's going on anymore? So far, every significant moment that's been like that, I've been absolutely overwhelmed by the reaction, though.
See, from my perspective, I always think of it in terms of a game where you have your pieces and you have it set up and you think you know how it's going to play, but eventually you just kind of have to let it play out and hope.
Yeah.
And that's the scary bit, certainly at my end. Next question's from Quinzelade.
Mm-hmm.
Does Johnny read the fan fiction we write about his show?
Right. Well, the short answer is no. The long answer is I did write at the very beginning when there wasn't a lot. A lot of this comes down to not wanting to inadvertently steal or indeed accused of it if something that happens in the show is too close to something that happens in fan works. I mean, essentially, once there's more fan fiction than you can easily keep up with, it becomes sensible to just not read it because being influenced, you don't want to be stealing other people's ideas. And it's easier if somebody does say that happened in this fan work to be able to say that's a coincidence because we don't read them.
Okay, this question's from Kelsey Dawn Scott.
Okay.
And it's one I personally, you know, feel quite strongly about.
Right, right.
Is Martin going to be okay? And I know the answer to this one.
Right, well, just to put this to bed once and for all, no. Martin is not going to be okay.
I don't think anyone's going to be okay. I think that's
no one's going to be okay.
How that's horror works.
No, but Martin especially.
Stop saying things like this. I'm going to move on from that question.
Yes, no, please do.
Next one is from Elise Tilema.
Mm-hmm.
How is the format of the show going to work now that the archivist is no longer in the archives? Since there are no statements, unless he finds them, is season 3 going to be more centred on the archivist just as a character, or will supporting cast fill his role at the Institute?
I'm not going to get into this one in too much detail because it's got elements of spoilers for what will be happening in season 3. I will say that the episodes will still primarily function as a standalone statement story with surrounding plot.
And we've always said that.
Absolutely. It will, at least for the beginning part, be bouncing back between the archivist and the Institute. But I'm not going to say any more than that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. In that case, sort of linked to that, actually, we have Luigi Molinis.
Sure.
Are you planning for more unconnected foreign stories? For example, things based in Asia, basically spooks from other countries, because we've been quite obviously Western European.
Yeah, we're very
far.
I mean, England centric to a certain degree. But yes, I'm very much hoping to expand the scope of the statements a bit. Realistically, it's always going to be a minority for two reasons. Firstly, they take a lot longer to research and write. Because these are not cultures that I myself am from, I am always acutely aware of potentially doing them a disservice. There's a lot more time that needs to go into research and checking and just making sure that I'm doing them justice. Also, to a certain degree, whereas with a lot of your classic Western monsters, I feel in a position to take them and twist them a bit, have a bit of fun with them, see what I can do with them. I'm never 100% that comfortable with...
It has an appropriationist vibe.
Yeah, I don't want to do that stuff with creatures from other cultures. So there's so the short answer is yes, I would. I'm very hopeful of going a bit more global in terms of our stories over the next few seasons. But the majority of the story is going to remain centered on Britain, basically.
Yeah. So tied to that is a question that we get quite a lot, actually.
Sure.
Simple one, really. How much research do you do for each episode?
It varies wildly. Yeah. Usually I would say at least as much time as I actually spend writing the thing. If it's not something that I myself have direct personal experience of, I will generally do as much research as I can beforehand. Something like fatigue, for instance, didn't need to do any research at all. I have not slept plenty, but anything where it's a job or an experience. I mean, I've never been caving, for instance. And that was a lot of research. For instance, never been diving, all this sort of stuff. So there's a lot of research
never
that goes into it.
Never been locked in a space station?
I mean, define locked.
Yeah, sure.
It's not really a space station. It's fine.
Another question here from Adriana Rojas.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any book plans in the mix? Because we would all love to have another addition to libraries of forbidden books.
I'm going to have to bounce this one to Alex a bit. Certainly, I'm very keen to get certainly the statements as they have been broadcast and transcribed in a book format. In terms of wider or additional stuff, no current plans, but who knows?
Sure. So sort of stepping in here to sort of talk about the wider picture, it's another one of those yes-no answers. Are we interested in this kind of thing? Well, yeah, like obviously, but at the same time, it's a case of these things take a lot of infrastructure and a lot of time to set up. And similarly, we've said it before and we'll say it again, the archives were made for audio and were made for an audio format, and elements of that mean that you can't copy and paste to a different medium. So yes, it's a thing we're interested in. No, it's not a thing that I can say, guess what, this is happening next week.
I am pretty confident that by the end of the Magnus Archives as a whole, we will be putting them out in some form.
Yeah, I can come down and say that. Yeah absolutely. This one's from Simon Freeston.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get your inspiration for the monsters and the books?
Everywhere. Literally everywhere. I am constantly aware that I need to find spooky ideas for things. And if any of my friends are listening to this, any conversation I've had with you in the last 2 years, I've been secretly looking for spooks that I can steal from you.
Okay, now this one's diving into a bit more of the meta.
Sure.
It's from Erin Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
Will we learn more about Elias's history and motives?
Yes.
Good. Moving on. Ali Maloney, when are we going to get a live show? So this is one that I think I should probably step into again on the logistics side.
You, Alex.
So we are hoping to do some live shows next year. I cannot go into more detail than that because, again, it takes massive amounts of time, effort, money, planning, and I don't want to start giving out times and dates and programs when things are still very much up in the air. Another question again from Ali Maloney.
Mm-hmm.
I'm massively impressed with Jonathan's writing and would love to know how he got to this point. What were you doing before the Magnus Archives? A question we've answered again before.
But, I mean, the answer is writing a lot of stuff that I never finished. I've always been doing some form of writing to one degree or another.
Plus space piracy.
The previously the most complete works I've done were with the Mechanisms. Concept albums, and it's storytelling and lyrics. So while less voluminous than the Magnus Archives, there's still quite a lot of work and writing gone into that. Aside from that, just a lot of unfinished projects. And
well, you design a lot of games as well, don't you?
Oh yeah, I mean, that's when I'm procrastinating, my brain will often just start designing games, which is interesting but irritating sometimes.
This next one's from Daniel Morales. Will you go
pretty
further
sure
into
right.
the story? Will you go further into the history of Mary Key and the Magnus Institute?
The Magnus Institute, absolutely. Mary Key, yes, to a certain degree, but she's not going to be the focus.
Yeah, yeah. This one's from Steve Bread via Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
Much of the exposition in the finale seemed to directly address fan theories about the wider story arc, especially all of the stuff about dimensions and gods and things like that.
Yeah.
Was this a deliberate nod to the Red String Brigade?
That's more of a complicated answer than it might seem at first. On the one hand, yes, because the Magnus Archives, for all else it is, it has a lot of mystery elements. And I always feel with this sort of mystery, you owe it to those people who are invested in the mystery to play fair with them. When you're revealing something, you want to be clear. And if they have particular theories that you are aware of, it's only fair to address those theories as directly as you can without breaking anything.
Yeah.
Also, there is the fact that within the world of the actual story, John and Martin, I mean, they are the Red String Brigade in the world. They are trying to make those same connections.
I mean,
they're trying to figure this out.
They're literally getting a paycheck to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very useful, actually, to have a group of people who are trying to figure these things out on the outside to look at and think, ah, that's what people think is going on at the moment. That's probably the sort of questions that the characters will be asking.
I would tack onto that as a sort of additional thing, is that we're all spending our time right now in a kind of golden story age, by which I mean we're all drowning in stories and content to consume and so on. But obviously, as part of that is we're all trained to listen to stories now. And part of that is, I mean, I doubt anyone who's listening to the Magnus Archives has never heard a horror. And part of that is you are trained to think about these things in certain ways. These stories take certain shapes. So honestly, genuinely, as much as we have been sort of monitoring the meta, there is an element when we started out where it was like, look, things that people are going to think are gods, dimensions, and like it isn't a huge leap. It's more about the specificity, I'd say,
the
is
stuff
where the meta
that's,
comes in.
The stuff that generally is a response to the forums or the Tumblr or Reddit or this sort of stuff is very rarely the wide-scale stuff. Yeah. Are they gods? Is it different dimensions? It's generally the really specific stuff where someone on one of the message boards will have said, oh, wait, what happened to this character? And I'll think, oh, yeah, I've never actually specifically said what happened in that case. I'll drop a line or two in there just to clarify that.
Yeah, yeah. Another one from Steve Bread.
Sure.
So with this in mind and without giving anything away, can we say if there are any plot elements that haven't been as discussed as much as they probably should?
To be honest, no. You guys are really on it.
you really are.
Your real problem is overthinking things. The number of times I've seen a theory that's like, oh, you figured it out then. And then their next one will be like, oh, no, that can't work. It does.
So, last question again from Steve Bread. This one, again, I'm probably going to have to field is, overall, the voice acting for the series and this season, this latest season especially, has been excellent.
Oh, thank you.
And judging by some of the...
And thank you on behalf of everyone else.
Yes. And judging by some of the guest cast surnames, we're guessing that you've relied a little bit on family and friends, but could we go into more detail about the casting process?
Sure.
So, to pull back the curtain, again, when we originally set this up, we didn't have a big infrastructure. No. We didn't have any kind of pipelines. It was very much us doing the best we could with what we had. And it, like I said, it relied a lot on previous contacts from theatre industry for me. Again, friends who have been doing this, that kind of thing. However, I would say going forward, we are looking at formalising casting and so on. However, unfortunately, for a few, let's be honest, quite obvious reasons, it's not going to be open casting calls to any and all fans because A, we will drown. We will just drown under people who want to be involved, which is absolutely like flattering, but a logistical nightmare when you put the business hat on. And the other element is as well, as we've been saying, we are trying to get this formalized in terms of proper pay for professional actors and so on. Part of that, I'm afraid, is that going through standard channels, which would be things like, eventually, we're looking at agencies and casting call networks rather than just putting out a general shout out, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So this next question is obviously relating to a certain bit of poetry. The excerpt has made its way in. Specifically, how would Martin fare in a Vogon poetry contest? I have a response here from Anil.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, because the majority of the poetry isn't actually written by me. Anil, who runs our social media, is actually a poet. And so we've drafted him in to do most of Martin's poetry, overseen, and I add a little bit here and there, but most of it's his work.
So for all of the patrons out there, you'll have already noticed that certain extra bits of Martin's poetry have managed to make its way into the Patreon feed. So if you're not already subscribed to it, there's a really good reason. But I do have Anil's...
There's some aggressively mediocre poetry on there.
I have Anil's answer here, which is, how would he fare? Probably not well. Martin's poetry is pleasantly middle of the road. It's not great, but it doesn't want to make you tear your ears off either. That said, Anil himself has placed second and third in genuine Vogon poetry slams,
which are a lot of fun if you ever get a chance to go to one.
So, sort of, as an answer?
Make of that what you will.
I'm afraid part one of our Q&A episode ends there. Part two will be available next week, so until then, we really appreciate your patience. Thanks for listening.
Sexy is boring. Let's be terrifying.
Hi, Corinne Cronfley here to tell you about today's sponsor, Sucrabay. Sucre is a women-owned and operated perfumery that is vegan and cruelty-free. Sucre is witchy and sometimes irreverent. Expect perfumes like Sweatpants Goblin, Not Today, Satan, and I Come From a Long Line of Terrifying Women. Sucre small batch perfumes are not like any other, but are broadly split into five scent styles, including classic scents that pass the test of time. Nerdy scents for all the self-professed nerds out there. Witchy scents that are mysterious and potiony. Goth scents for those who like it dark and mysterious. And femme scents, the classically floral and sweet scents, but we recommend them for anyone of any gender. You can even find Blood and Bone and Unknown Roads, which are two amazing scents for our dear friends over at Old Gods of Appalachia. Also, as an added bonus, right now you can get an extra free dram of one of their scents if you spend over $25 and by using our unique Magnus code by going to rustyquill.com/perfume and following the instructions. Thanks, and enjoy today's episode.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.